on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, live in concert every night of the week at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3. Well, the time now is 10:30, starting a little later than usual. It's time for World Roots, and it's the first of three programmes of highlights from the Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music, which is taking place this weekend at the Purcell Room on London's South Bank, which is where we find Lopa Kothari.
Now, I know that it's been the stormiest, if not wettest, September in Britain for 30 years, but here, right now, on the River Thames, on London's South Bank, we are experiencing an Indian summer. I wouldn't put it past the Indian gods and goddesses of music to have orchestrated a break in the clouds, because this weekend sees the 7th annual Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music at the South Bank Centre, and the sun is blazing down. Darbar is the largest gathering of its kind in Europe. Recitals from legends, rising stars and unexpected magical moments are par for the course, and over three World Roots programmes here on BBC Radio 3, I'm going to be bringing you what Darbar is all about, music fit for the royal court. So let's start with Joydeep Ghosh and the Sursingar, a rarely heard lute-type instrument with a deep resonance. It came from Persia and would have graced many of the concerts given for royalty and high society a few hundred years ago. Joydeep, like many artists in Indian classical music, started at a very young age, won numerous awards and talent competitions, and he quickly embraced a specific school of music, in this case, the Sahaj Jahanpur Sarod Gharana. This is one of the styles of music from the northern Hindustani classical tradition. Now, Joydeep is a young player by Indian classical music standards, and he comes from Madhya Pradesh, in the very heart of India. So let's join him on stage here at Darbar, and he's accompanied by Shubh Maharaj on tabla.
Thank you.
What an exhilarating performance. If you ever wanted to know where blues and rock came from, I think it was evident tonight. It obviously came from India, and it obviously was the instrument of choice, the sur singhar. Joydeep Ghosh, this is a lute instrument.
This is basically a lute instrument, the second stanza you can see.
Which is the instrument that came before the sarod, in many ways.
It came after rabab. So mother instrument is rabab, then sur singhar came, and afterwards from rabab sarod was made, sarod was conceived in the court of Riwa,
this instrument has beautiful deep notes.
That's why I took it for my second affair. The first affair is sarod, obviously. This is my second.
And are there many people who have taken up the sur singhar in particular, like yourself?
Actually, I find very few exponents who are existing at the moment. It's a very tough instrument. It's more tough than sarod also, I should say. It needs very riyaz.
A lot of practice. A
lot of practice, and the distance of the notes is much wider than sarod.
It has a longer neck.
Longer neck, and the space from one bridge to another bridge is quite larger than sarod. So that's why it is very difficult.
Tell me something about yourself, where you grew up, and you said that you'd started by playing the sarod.
Actually, basically, my father used to play, but he was not a very professional artist. He was a love for playing sarod, and the Guruji, the mentor, Pandit Acharya Anil Rai Chaudhary, he was the guru of my father, and subsequently he took a small instrument for me at the age of 4.5.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know, just after 4 years I was on the stage of Sadhana Music Conference. So I don't believe this, that how after 4 years I can be on that great stage where all the maestros were there. It's a 7 days or 8 days festival. That time it was the main festival of Calcutta.
Did you grow up in Calcutta?
Calcutta is my home city.
A very musical city.
And very musical city. All the artists are very musical. I find this thing, you can walk in the evening and in every house you can listen the sound of either the sound of tanpura or the vocals or any strings, something like that. So
tell me, what made you shift from the sarod, your first affair, to your second,
actually,
your second mistress,
one day, one day my guru told me that you should play this instrument because it's a larger instrument than sarod. Then you can play much easily sarod. And then I was very much fond of the sound of this instrument. It is very rich, and the look is much antique.
It has a very unusual gourd.
And lastly sort of played in the 19th century first half. That was lastly played in the king's court. So my guru told me, just took this instrument and give it to the society, back to the society again. The revival of this instrument can be done by you.
The way in which you played rag jog had a real bluesy feel about it. A lot of sort of bending and sliding of notes. Is that something that's particular to the way you play?
Yeah, actually, I say in a few words, in a nutshell, that in the Western music, they are playing on the point notes. Dun, 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 dun. You see the keyboard, you see the instrument, all with frets, the guitar. Spanish guitar is with frets, along with the frets. And only you can glide by violin, viola and cello. The concept is not like that. In only blues, you can just glide from one note to another. And in Indian music, the basic thing is you have to glide from one note to another note, like sa ga ra no da 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 da. If you play like that, it will not Indian classical music. Blues, the approach of blue is also like that.
Tell me something about Shyam Kalyan.
This is the name of raga, Kalyan. So the Kalyan which can be played in the evening. Shyam is evening. The Kalyan of the Shyam, that is Shyam Kalyan, like that. that Kalyan of the evening is Shyam Kalyan.
And so let's hear Shyam Kalyan played by Joydeep Ghosh on Sur Singer, Shubh Maharaj on tabla, and Gurmant Kaur on tanpura. Pandit Joydeep Ghosh, accompanied by Shubh Maharaj on tabla and Gurmant Kaur on tanpura, bringing out the full power and resonance of the Sur Singar there in Rag Shyam Kalyan. Well, moving to South India now and to the violin, an instrument that has become central to Carnatic music. Manjunath and his brother Nagraj, known as the Mysore Brothers, are probably the finest violin duo in India. And whilst they've played in the UK before, this is the first time that they've come over to London to play together on stage. Earlier today, Manjunath explained to me just how the violin entered the heart of Carnatic music.
It came to India when British came to rule India about 200 years ago. And one very famous musician and music composer by name Muthuswami Dikshitar, who happened to listen to a Western classical music concert and was so much impressed by the versatility of this wonderful instrument and thought why we should not have such a beautiful instrument in Carnatic classical music. And he and his younger brother Balaswami Dikshitar, both of them worked very hard to bring this instrument to South Indian classical music system.
So what would you say are the key differences between, say, the Western classical violin and the Carnatic? I mean, how was it adapted?
There is absolutely no physical change, number one. Number two is the difference you can find in the tuning system. We have a totally different tuning system altogether. And in terms of posture, unlike Western classical violinist, we don't sit on the chair or stand and play the violin. And our posture is totally different. It is best suited to Indian classical music scenario. We squat down on the stage and rest the violin between our right ankle and the neck. And we need two firm grips in these two terms because Indian classical music is full of oscillations, which we call gamakas. It's a never-ending movement.
Sliding backwards and forwards on the neck of the violin.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you are doing that one with that speed, you should have two firm grips. So that is why probably they figured out this kind of posture, which is so unique. I don't think anywhere else in the music world you can find this unique position.
I guess one of the things I owe a great debt to Darbar for is introducing me to Carnatic music. It's not something that I knew much about before or had heard much about before. And it really is quite a fantastic experience to listen to Carnatic music.
Yes, you're right. Darbar does a fantastic job all the time. And obviously, Carnatic classical music, according to the musicologists, is the original form of Indian classical music. And before Muslims invaded India,
the Mughals and the
Persians,
Persians,
there was only one system of music that was prevalent in India. So after Muslims' invasion, which was more prevalent in the northern side of our country, you know, they brought Persian music along with them, and the original music of India, in fusion with Persian music, ultimately became Hindustani music. And whereas South India, the music in South India, which was not that much attacked by Mughals, remained and retained the original form of music, which, according to musicologists, is the Carnatic classical music.
So tell me how the dynamic works between you and your brother. Do you have you decided beforehand who's going to play the melody or when you're going to finish a phrase and he's going to take over? How does this chemistry work between the two of you?
Yeah, if you are asking about the decision, we haven't decided what we are going to play today. You know, the Carnatic classical music is all about improvisation and then spontaneous decision, those kinds of things. And we simply take our violin and go on the stage. So we sit there and look at the audience and feel the vibration, look at our accompanies and the fantastic rapport we need to build, not only with the audience, even amongst ourselves, and we look at each other and then decide what to play, which can be the best option for that particular given circumstances. So this is how we go. And when we start one particular composition, a rag alap, alap means the improvisation, a freestyle improvisation of a melodic scale, and one of us begin this and other one tries to complement and then take on from where the other one has stopped. So you know only the game rule, yeah. And you have full freedom and then full freestyle, and based on the rapport you develop with your accompanies as well as the audience, you just take on.
So if you say that in a sense you know the game, the rules of the game, is it also a bit of a competition between the two of you?
There can be, you know, subtle competition, and which is a very healthy one, and it sounds really nice if there is some sort of competition, but it is always a healthy one, and then it adds to the beauty of the concert.
Very popular composition in a beautiful rock called Mohana. Sadapalaya. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the mood that inspired the Mysore Brothers tonight had to be one of pure joy, excitement and fun. Rag Mohana. I love the way the conversation between the violins and percussion ends up in a sort of free-for-all with all of them talking at the same time. Next week, more from the Indian summer here at the Darbar Festival. We bring you another ancient instrument known as the Surbaha, the bass sitar, played by the maestro Pushparaj Koshthi. And Rajendra Prasanna will be performing on that iconic yet humble instrument, the Bansuri, the flute seen in so many pictures of India in the hands of Lord Krishna. But I leave you with one last rousing performance, that of Pallavi, with Sri Mushnam Raja Rao Amradangam on Ghatam, R.M. Prakash and Priya Prakash on Tanpura. And making their UK debut, the Mysore Brothers on violins. Thank you.
performance by the Mysore Brothers performing at this weekend's Durbar Festival, which has been taking place on London's South Bank. Lopa Qatari will be back with more highlights from the festival in World Roots next week, and that's at the slightly shorter programme time, starting at 10:25. If you're having problems keeping track of exactly what time World Roots is on at the moment, don't forget that you can listen to it whenever you'd like to on the programme page of the Radio 3 website.
A is for action.
How a piano feels to you who makes a performance.
B is for boogie-woogie.
It's stimulating the mind into a form of excitement where you almost lose your senses. And for those few moments, the chaos of the universe will come into order.
C is for competition.
If you go in with the idea that you may not get anywhere, you may not win, but you have to focus on the chance that you might and prepare for it, it's a really good discipline.
Piano season of the BBC continues with an A to Z of the piano daily on In Tune. Weekdays, 4:30 to 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and also online. The time now is 11:30 and it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Claire Martin.
Hello, who's this talking about his interpretation of Charlie Parker tunes?
People were generally intrigued. What's this about? If they didn't know Parker, they wanted to know more. And if they did know Parker, they were quite happy to hear a new take on it.
Yes, it's Django Bates, and I interviewed him recently about his new CD, Confirmation, and you can hear that conversation a little bit later on. And Georgia Mancho's Revoice Festival 2012 is about to get underway, and she joins me to preview that festival shortly. To start the show today, something from the new album from guitar great John Scofield. Entering his fifth decade as a master of the instrument, he's well known for giving each album he releases a deliberate theme. A Moment's Piece is, as the title suggests, a collection of ballads comprised of original material and jazz standards. The track I've chosen, however, was written by the wonderful jazz singer Abby Lincoln, and it's Throw It Away.
Thank you.
John Scofield with Abby Lincoln's Throw It Away, and playing with him on his new release called A Moment's Peace is bassist Scott Coley and the remarkable Brian Blade on drums, and Larry Goldings is on piano and organ. The album's produced by John Scofield and is out on the Emissary label. Made Possible is the eighth studio album for The Bad Plus, who've spent more than a decade playing their very individual take on what a piano, bass, drums trio can be. The Bad Plus have broken down the walls of jazz convention and created an uncompromising body of work. The Guardian said of them, "If the Coen brothers put together a jazz trio, perhaps it would be like this. The comic and the dramatic rolled together." On this new outing, they're adding layers of synthesizers and electric drums to their already very original sound. Pianist Ethan Iverson, bassist Reed Anderson, and drummer David King are The Bad Plus, and this is Wolf Out.